Father God, we want to thank you, O God, for you are the mighty one, the holy one, the righteous one, the one who is above all in the heavenlies. We thank you, O God, that you allow us the privilege of hearing your voice and receiving your word of life. We thank you, Father, that you pour into our souls that which we have need of. And we thank you, Lord, that we are able to live with your word being alive in the depths of our inmost being. Lord, and indeed we declare, who is a God like thee who has pardoned our iniquity, who has passed over all of our rebellion, who has cast all of our sin into the depths of the sea? Who indeed is a God like unto thee? We're so grateful, Father, that we can gather to hear your word and to receive the life that comes from above. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, today it would have its most efficacious work, that it would bring cleansing to our souls and strength to our bodies. We thank you, Lord, that your word would come alive. We do pray for the anointing that destroys the yoke to be upon our brother Jim. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would fill his mouth with your word, with words of life that will strengthen, that will encourage, that will comfort, that will deliver, that will set the captive free. And we thank you, O God, for every manner of grace and loving kindness that you bestow upon us. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Destroy every yoke, Lord. Set every captive free. Open the eyes of the blind. Open the ears of the deaf. Cause the lame to walk. Hallelujah, Lord. Touch us now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Well, I guess you go ahead, Jim.
Okay. I don't see the little red thing, but you're recording, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, greetings, everyone. Thank you, Brother Paul, for that prayer. I felt the strength of it. And we pray in agreement with it. I'm glad that we are able to take our time. You know, we don't have a time limit, right? When we're in the presence of the Lord, we want to bask in his presence, and we want to allow the Spirit to move. And so we're not in a hurry. Amen. Because we're retired, right? Sister Beery, we're not in a hurry. We're retired. We rejoice with you, my sister. Praise God. So what God has been speaking to me is about Christ in the soul. And from the very beginning, the design, the purpose, the intent of God was to have Christ planted in the soul of man. And that the planting would bring forth the fruit, the reality of the fullness of the Christ in the soul of man. So we know that Adam was so close. I mean, he came right up to the tree of life, but did not partake, instead turned and partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there was a great fall, as we know. But Adam was very near to partaking of that seed, that fruit of Christ, and then the nature of the Christ would have been completed. He would have been the completed man in Christ, because Christ would have been planted and brought to fruition in his soul. And so this is the reality of Christ's coming. Okay, Christ had to come and to have a physical body. Amen. He had to have a physical body, because the intent of God is for Christ to be in a physical man, Adam. Adam was a physical man. And so Christ was in a body. Now, Christ, the nature of Christ must come forth in you and I, but it must come forth in a people. Now, here, when we think of what God is imparting to us, he's taking this nature of himself called Christ and planting it in a people. And we can have, brethren, we can have as much of Christ as we desire. Or we can limit. Because Christ, the nature of Christ, is being planted in the soul. And as Christ is in the soul, he's removing barriers. Amen. We know those barriers, right? Each one of us, we know those barriers of our soul. And Christ, the power of Christ, the nature of Christ, is able to break through every barrier of our soul and bring forth the fullness of the nature of Christ in our soul. Now, I'm going to say something, and I believe you will understand that the body of Christ, that which we call the body of Christ, the fellowship in Christ, the body of Christ is the church. But the church is not always the body. Do we understand that? that you can be in the church and not in the body. But the connection is that the body will always be the church. But the church needs to come into the body to be fully formed. And so the desire of Christ, okay, so I have Christ in me. Everyone who is baptized in the Holy Ghost has Christ planted in the soul. So Christ is in me. But I am not fully into Christ. The way Sister Mavis used to say it, and it's so beautiful. Christ in me is the hope of the glory. But me in Christ is the glory. Amen? That is our desire, that we would be in Christ. In other words, all of my thoughts would be in Christ, the mind of Christ. My emotions, you know, these emotions, ooh, brethren, they give us problems sometimes. You know, we're still prone to emotional outbursts of whatever. But the desire is, the desire of God is for the emotions to be like that of the lamb. Because the emotions, you know, can be a beast. And so the desire of God is for the emotions to be like the lamb. And then, of course, we have the desires and the will that are not always functioning in Christ, under Christ. But God will have a people that will be completed in Christ, the completed man, the fullness, the nature, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in a people, in a body, coming forth in that Christ nature. That will be the completed man. Christ will have been fully formed inside of his body. So let us turn to Ephesians chapter 3 as we begin. I appreciated some of the thoughts about, you know, with God, we have power to move mountains, that nothing is impossible with God. I want to read, this is a beautiful little quote that I came across by D.L. Moody. I don't know if you know D.L. Moody. You know, we associate D.L. Moody with like the beginnings of the Baptist movement, the Baptist church. But I tell you what, D.L. Moody was not a Baptist. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was a man of God. But at any rate, this is a quote by D.L. Moody. Faith makes all things possible. Love makes all things easy. And I would say love makes all things beautiful. So praise God. Somehow, by the grace of God, the power of Christ coming forth in our soul. Remember, brethren, With God, nothing shall be impossible. Because we look at ourselves, we see that we are incomplete. We see these barriers. We see our weaknesses. And sometimes, brethren, they just hang right out there, you know. But the work is the work of the Holy Ghost in the soul as we yield to Him. Remember, we can have as much of Christ in the soul as we allow. So that's my prayer. That's my desire, to open up to the work of the Holy Ghost in my soul, that Christ can come forth in His fullness in me. So we're in Ephesians chapter 3. And I would like to go down to verse 14. This is a prayer of Apostle Paul to the church, for the church. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family. Now remember, when we talk about the family of God, we're talking about the church, but we are talking about the body being formed. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now that's what we're talking about today. The real you, the real me, is that soul man, the innermost part of our being that is still yet not complete. We are being made complete, but we are not yet complete. So the work is on the inner man. So that Christ, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So Christ dwelling in your hearts is that inner man. This is where the work, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the reality of Christ coming forth in the soul is being worked in this inner man of our soul. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. So we see that Christ in the soul, it's dimensional. Christ wants to go and into the very breadth, as broad as He can, as long as He can, as deep as He can, as high as He can, into the soul, because, brethren, the soul is very large. Now we are told that the mind of man has never been really tapped into. I'm talking about just intellect, knowledge. That as a rule, most of us function at 15% capacity of using our mind, which means we have a great potential. If you look at someone, some of the great geniuses, you know, like you think of Einstein, but I think of Tesla. Tesla was as much of a genius as Einstein, and they maybe reached 20% of the mental capacity of the mind. But there's so much that and remember now, we are a product of our creator. So whatever the potential of the mind, it's because God put it there. And of course, we know that it has been used for evil. But we're talking about the dimensions that are in the soul that need the nature of Christ to transform them. So, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, verse 19, that you might be, wait, watch this, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So we're talking about Christ filling the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, every dimension of our soul. You notice that there's four dimensions, and we know that there are four parts of the soul: the mind, emotions, will, and desires. So we're talking about Christ filling that. I'm going to read it again. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I'm so far. Oh, my goodness. I'm so far from being complete. I have all of this still going on in my soul. Let's read the next verse. There's hope. There's hope for me. There's hope for this man. There's hope for this woman. Now, unto him, Christ, that is able what? To do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. That, if I remember right, that's, well, I won't try to say the Greek word because it's slipped past me. But what the Greek word there means, abundantly, it means to like super abound. So where sin abounds, grace superabounds. And this is what he's talking. Now, we're going back to Christ in the soul. So you and I, in and of our own effort, our own energies, can produce nothing. Nothing. We're talking about the energy, the life, the power of Christ. Christ, super abundantly manifesting. And so Joanne looked it up for me. Oh, I'm sorry, I lost it. Okay, yeah, Chorissos, which means in the sense of beyond. It's beyond us, brethren. We're talking about the dimensions of God in Christ, that super abundant in quantity or superior in quality, by implication, excessive. Okay, oh, this is good. Exceeding abundantly above, more abundantly advantageous, exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more superfluous. Amen. I think you understand. It's the energy and life of God that's in Christ. And it's the anointing of that Christ upon the soul that's going to bring the change in the soul. Now, you don't have to unmute, but I know you're saying amen. We all want Christ to change this man, change this woman, this soul that God so desires to plant Christ in the innermost part of our being. We have to desire it. We have to allow it. So what he's saying is, it's not you. It's Christ in you that is working super abundantly with the power of the living Christ to get you into Christ. Amen. Now, there is something. Well, before we go there, I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 3. This is a companion scripture. And the beautiful thing about Apostle Paul is that when he wrote these epistles, some of these are companion scriptures, thoughts that are in different ones of his epistles. So we're going to Colossians chapter 3, just like we were in Ephesians 3. And we'll go down to verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in what? One body. Now remember, we're talking about the body of Christ. And the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So it is the word of Christ dwelling in us that is bringing the transformation of the soul. And what are we being transformed into? The nature of Christ. And before we move on, go back to Ephesians. And this time I would like to go over to chapter 4, just so we can keep in perspective of what we're focusing on. Ephesians 4, scriptures you know very well. Let's start with verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now remember, what is the filling of all things that God desires, that we also desire? It's the filling of Christ filling the soul. And he, now here's the how of it. How is it going to come to pass. He, Christ, gave. He, Christ, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up, the growing up into. Okay, I lost my place. The body of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ, the growing up into. Now, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. So that's what we're talking about. The height, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. We're talking about the measure of Christ reaching every dimension of our soul and filling this soul with Christ. Let's finish the thought here. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. This is the dimension of where Christ is expanding and being expanded in the soul. So the more that I fellowship in Christ, the more Christ anoints the soul. Because remember, when we talk about the Christ, we are talking about Christ, the anointed one, Christ, the anointing. And the anointing of Christ on the soul is what brings the change. And so, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. We're all growing into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh what? Increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, in the body, I'm increasing. You're increasing. There's an increase in every member of the body. And so, brethren, this is the fellowship. This is what we call koinonia, fellowship. Koinonia means communion, a deep fellowship in spirit. As I increase, my increase is your increase, and your increase is my increase, because the body is growing. As I grow, you're growing, because the body is growing up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ coming forth in the soul. So there is a problem. I hate to tell it, but there's a problem. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 13. And I believe you know this parable very well. But I want to just focus on one verse here. We're in Matthew chapter 13. And I go down to verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now, who is the good man? The good man is Christ. What is the good seed that he planted? He planted Christ. And where did he plant Christ? In our inner man of our soul, which is his field. Now, look at verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So we must be aware that while Christ is being planted in the soul, the enemy desires to plant tares. What will the tear bring forth? Death. What will the Christ bring forth? Life. And so I want you to look at the first part of this verse. While men slept. Where else do we see that? Well, over in 25 of Matthew, the five wise and the five foolish. We see that while men slept, oil was being drained, taken away from some, while others had an abundant supply of oil for midnight. And this is where we are. Now, we have to get this, brethren. Tares are being sowed today, even now. And we first must guard our heart, but we also must be aware that sometimes there is something that is not Christ that says he's Christ in our midst. I want you to go to Galatians. Again, Apostle Paul's writings. Galatians chapter 1. And now you have to understand that when Paul wrote to the Galatian church, one of the biggest problems, if not the major problem, the Galatian church had was they wanted to go back to the law and believe they were in the spirit. And the law, by keeping the law, will not bring you to the spirit. And this was the major problem in the Galatian church. And this is why Paul brought it so, he brought so much attention to it, so much teaching to it, that you cannot get Christ in the soul by keeping the law. And so let me look at verse 6 here. We're in chapter 1 of Galatians, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? Another gospel? What is this other gospel? It is a false gospel that says if you keep the law, You can be in Christ. And Christ says, no. The gospel of Christ is the liberty of Christ in the soul, and it is not the keeping of the law. And he says that in verse 7, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is Christ in you and you in Christ. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Amen. So what we're saying here is, while men slept, tares were being planted. Another Christ. Another gospel. Another, if I could say it, something that looks like the anointing that is not the anointing of Christ. Brethren, this is, we must always be on guard that the enemy of our soul is always, always desiring to plant these tares in the church, to keep the church from coming to the fullness, the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. So I want you to see this in Exodus. We're covering a lot of ground here. We're going to back to Exodus chapter 33. And we go down to verse 7. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord and went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Brethren, this pillar, now what was the sign that God was in the midst of the camp? The pillar by day, the fire by night. And this was none other than the Shekinah glory of God dwelling in the tabernacle. Now, what is the tabernacle? What is the tabernacle the type of? The tabernacle is the type of Christ dwelling in the soul of man. Is not this a type of the soul? And when the pillar came down, it's that Shekinah glory that filled the tabernacle. Brethren, this is, and notice we back in Ephesians 4. He that ascended is the same that descended into the lower parts. Brethren, he's going into your breadth, your length, your depth, your height. He's descending. And that Shekinah glory of Christ is bringing the change. Believe it, brethren. Believe it, that as we fellowship in Christ, that koinonia, fellowship in Christ, Christ is being formed in us. Believe it. Now, where did he meet? Where did God meet Moses? Well, let me start at verse 9 again. Came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And who is the door? Christ is the door. And what did he do? He talked with him. Now let's read on a little bit. Now keep in mind, we're talking about Christ being formed in the soul. And all the people, verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, and every man in his tent door. Listen, when the glory comes down, you will be on your face worshiping. Amen. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, Moses said something here, and I want us to get a hold of it, okay? Verse 12, Moses said unto the Lord, seeing thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, this is God responding to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He's saying, Moses, wherever that tabernacle goes, my presence goes with you. That pillar by day, that fire by night, that Shekinah glory coming down will fill the tabernacle always. What is he saying to you and I? No matter what deep waters we have to go through, no matter what trials, struggles, tribulations, he's saying, my presence, which is the presence of Christ in the soul, my presence will go with you. Now look at this. One more verse. Verse 15. This is Moses' response. Let me read 14 again. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to move from this place. I don't want to go on. But God says, My presence will go with you, and the Shekinah glory will fill the tabernacle. Now, one more verse in Exodus. Go to the end of the end of the book, chapter 40, Exodus 40. And we begin at verse 33. Exodus 40 and verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Moses' job was done. Verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of God filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Do you see this, brethren? This is what happened in Solomon's day. Solomon built the temple according to the pattern that God had showed him. And when everything was built according to due order, according to the pattern God had designed, it said the glory of God came down, and they were not, they were not able to, they were not able to enter in because the cloud and the glory filled the temple just like it filled the tabernacle, just like the cloud of glory is going to fill your soul. Are we not the temple of the living God? Are we not that tabernacle? Are we not just like that temple that Solomon built? And the glory came down? Brethren, this is none other than the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ filling every dimension of our soul. Now, what is happening now? Right now, it's little by little, day by day. Remember, when Israel, under Joshua, came into the promised land, or the land of promise, he said, I will not drive them out at once, lest the land be empty and the beasts of the field come in. He said, but little by little and day by day, you're going to go in and you're going to conquer those ites and drive them out, even the giants. Amen? Do we have some giants in our soul? That's the height. Amen. I don't have that problem. Praise God. But God is saying, and this is, now keep in mind, when this glory came down, this Shekinah glory came down, that was the manifestation of the glory of the Christ filling the tabernacle. It's the fullness of Christ, brethren. Now, how? This is the great paradox. How can I get from where I am to where God wants me to be? And we have such a short time We're at the end of time, brethren. Now, we're not going to set any days or dates or time, but we know that we are at the end of time. And at the end of time, God is going to have a people living, walking, talking, moving in that measure of the stature of Christ. But before that happens, Christ has to fill the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of my soul. Christ has to get in there. So how is this going to, how am I going to get there? How are we going to get there? I want us to go to John chapter 17. And I think you know what we're talking about here. Okay, John chapter 17. And go down to verse 20. We could do a little more, but let's stay on track here and go to verse 20. John 17 and verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now watch this. I want you to catch it. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, where is the oneness first and foremost? The oneness is first us being one with God, one with Christ. Then we can be one with one another. But first, there must be that oneness of us with God in us, in the soul. Then we are one with one another. And what brings, the oneness? How do we get to that oneness? It's the glory, brethren. It's the glory of the presence of the Christ filling the soul, the Shekinah glory is none other than the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ filling the soul. And when that Shekinah glory fills this man, that's when Christ will not only be in me, but I will be in Christ. If I could use a word, in Christed, meaning just that Christ takes over every part of my soul, every part of my being. Now, bear in mind, brethren, it is not going to be human effort, human energies, our doing, our part, our place is to submit to the working and the dealing of the Holy Ghost in our soul, which is bringing, birthing forth that Christ nature in our soul. Let's go on. I'm going to read verse 22 again. And the glory, incidentally, remember, This glory is the Shekinah glory of Christ descending. Remember, Christ descended first into the tabernacle. Then he descended into Solomon's temple. And now he's descending into this temple. And what is he doing? Bringing the glory of Christ and filling, hallelujah, filling this soul with that nature of Christ. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now watch this. I want you to look at it very carefully. I in them. Okay. Christ is in, let's say you and I. Instead of them, let's say you and I. Christ is in you and I. And you are in me. That they may be made what? Isn't it the perfection of the soul, the completion of the soul, the completed man? Isn't that what we desire? That's God's desire. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that may be behold my glory that thou hast given me, for thou hast lovest me before the foundation of the world. So, he wants, okay, Christ. Remember, we talked about the necessity for Jesus Christ to manifest in a physical body. So he says that they may be with me where I am. Where was he? He was sitting down talking with James and John and Paul. And he said, that you may be with me where I am. He was in a physical body, but he was in communion in the heavenlies with the Father. This is what God desires for the sons of God. That when the sons of God come forth in the fullness of Christ, we'll be in a physical body. Agreed? We're going to be in this physical body. But it's going to be, our bodies are going to be transformed into another dimension, just like our soul has been transformed. This is the oneness. This is the oneness that we're going to be communing with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the reason we can is because the Christ is connecting us to the Father. I don't know if we can we try to just think on that for a little bit? God needed I don't know what the right word is, but God needed a delivery system. I was a delivery boy all my life. I delivered cards, I did cars, I delivered packages, I delivered everything. Now I'm delivering students, but God needed a delivery system to deliver his nature into these dimensions of the soul of man so that man could be restored back to God. So the delivery system was the Christ. The Christ is the nature. Now remember, when you talk about the Christ, you cannot separate the Christ from God. Christ is in the Son, just as the Son is in the Father, and the Holy Ghost is in Christ. So we're not talking about another dimension of God. We're talking about the dimension of what and who God is. But he delivered this Christ into man, which will bring us, because he descended that we may ascend with him. And what is lifting us? It's that Shekinah glory. The same Shekinah glory that came down is now lifting us up that we may. Well, let me read it. Let me read it. It's verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. It's the Shekinah glory. This is going to lift us. And the Shekinah glory is the Christ planted in the soul that's going to lift us up to the Father and reveal the Father. Now, one more thought. I want you to go back to verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, I don't know. I'm going to try this. I don't know if this is going to work. But I've got a little. I don't know if you can see this. Okay. Okay, do you see the circle? Stand over there, Joanne, and see if you can, if this is coming through okay. Okay, so the first circle is the Father. Now, where is the Christ? The Christ is in the Father. So, where are we?
In Christ.
We're in Christ. And where is Christ? In the Father. So do you see that other circle? That inner circle. That's the body. That's you. That's me. That's the body that is what? You have to forgive me. I'm going to use that word again. The body is in Christed. The body is in Christed, in Christ, and Christ is in the Father. That's the glory. And that's the oneness, brother. The oneness will not come any other way. And so this is what we are desiring. Remember, Moses walked and talked with God, just like Adam. Adam had that living relationship with the living Christ. I believe it was Christ. Christ the man from the foundation of the world. Doesn't the scripture say that? He was in the garden. Moses walked and talked with God like no other man for 40 years. And what did he say? God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, my glory is going to go with you. And Moses turned around and said, oh, Father God, if your glory doesn't go with me, I don't want to go on. That should be the very cry of our heart now, the body of Christ. Father, if I can't have that Shekinah glory coming down and changing this man, I don't want to go on from here. I want that glory. Because it is that glory of Christ in the soul that's going to make us like Christ, that's going to bring the change. Not human effort, brethren. And I'm telling you, as a warning, there are those that are subverting this gospel with religion, religious activities. And it will not bring forth Christ. Let me try to finish here. I want you to go back to Colossians. This time we're going to Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Now listen, I'm not the only one warning of this false Christ. The first, go down to verse 8. What is the first word we see? Beware. This is a warning. Colossians 2 and verse 8, beware, be on guard. You have the gift of discernment. There are 12 gifts of the Spirit, and one of those gifts is discernment. You should be able to discern when a false Christ, a false prophet, a false teacher comes and tries to peddle something other than the purity of Christ. Beware lest any man what? Spoil you with tares, sowing tares while men slept. Tares were being sowed. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, the mind of man, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, going back to the law, and after the rudiments of the world, that is reason, brethren, by the way, and not after what? Not after the Christ. The Christ is everything. He is the all in all. And it is the Christ in us that is going to bring us into Christ and nothing else. Verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. What? Bodily, in a body, in a people. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So what is going to prevent you from coming into this completed man? This is the completed man, complete in Christ, complete, complete, complete in him. We are complete in him. What is going to bring us to that completion? What could prevent us? He is the head of all principality and power. And with God, all things are possible. as we yield to the Christ. Christ is going to bring forth Christ in you. Then he's going to bring forth Christ in me. And he's going to bring forth Christ in the body. And then the world's going to believe and see and know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And Christ is the head of all things. We are complete in him. Revelation. Let's finish here. Revelation 22. We're going to the back of the book. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Okay, the throne of God and of the Lamb. Let's keep that thought. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, brethren. Amen. I know you're saying amen. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall what? Look at this in verse 4. They shall see his face. His name shall be in their forehead. Just like Moses went face to face. Face to face with God. He stood at the door of the temple and went face to face with God. All the barriers are going to be removed. We're going to behold his face. Face to face. And there shall be no night there. No need of the lamp. No need of the candle or the lamp. Neither light of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I want to go back.
You have to read the end of 4.
Okay, I have to read the end of 4.
Their nature.
Okay. Yeah. Joanne says, I need to repeat 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. That's the nature. But look at this. Let's go back to this thought of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Where is the throne of God? Well, God sits on his throne in heaven. Well, then where is the throne of the Lamb? The throne of the Lamb is in that heaven, planted in our soul, that will become one with the heavens of heavens that God is in. Let me go back to this. Look at this diagram. Where is the throne? The throne is right here, in the body, in your heart, in my heart. God wants the oneness in us, so that the throne, you know, when they back in, we don't have to go there, but back in chapter 4 of Revelation, when they cast their crowns, what were they saying? They were giving all of their self-life, all of their free will, casting it at the feet of Jesus, the Lamb of God, at his throne. And the throne is in our heart. It's us getting off the throne and the Lamb being on the throne of our hearts. And then what does he want us to do? When he is seated on the throne, look at it at the end of verse 5. There shall be no night there, no need of the candle or the lamp, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Who's going to reign? We, seated with Christ in heavenly places. One's self is off the throne, and Christ is on the throne. That's when the reigning begins. Look at verse, go back to chapter 3. Revelation 3. I believe we're going to be done here. Yeah, let's be done here. Revelation 3. And I want you to go down to verse 19. Well, let's go back to verse 18. Revelation 3 and 18. I counsel thee. This is strongly suggested. Highly encouraged. I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Try in the fire. What's the gold? The nature of the Christ. Where do we get it? In the fire. I'm sorry, but we're all going to have to go through the fire. Some of us are in the fire. We're all in the fire. Some more than others. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, the covering of righteousness, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Remember, God met Moses at the door. That same door of our heart. Christ is the door, and he's meeting us. And he's saying, I want to be one with you. Let me finish. Verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Not just because it's words in red. This is Jesus Christ speaking. You're going to sit with me in my throne because you're going to get off your throne and be with the Lamb in his throne. And his throne is one with the throne of the Father. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in what? His throne. It's one throne. So, brethren, how do we get there? It has to be Christ. God desires God desires to have a people. And God, let us say, God will have a people. If we do not be and become that people, God will find a people. God will have a people. But it is God's desire that Christ come forth in his fullness, in a people, in a body, in the soul of man, and God desires it. We have to get a hold. I don't know how to say it, but we have to get a hold of that desire. We have to desire that Christ nature to take over this soul as much as God desires that. Is it possible? Of course it's possible. Because nothing is impossible, right? With God, all things are possible. God desires for a people to be in Christ, in Christed, full of Christ. When I say in Christ, I'm talking about full of Christ. Christ is in all of those dimensions. The breadth, the length, the depth, the height of my soul. All of those dimensions in me. He gets in there. And he brings the gold nature, the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory comes down and fills the temple. And you know what's left? When that Shekinah glory fills the temple, there's nothing left but Christ. It's all Christ. Nothing but Christ. All we have to do. Did he say something there about if you open the door? We just have to open up and let the Christ descend into every area of this temple. Then we will be complete, complete, complete in him. Brethren, it is possible. And God will have a people. And by desire, I'm telling you, brethren, my one great desire since I have been in this word is to stay the course, to finish my race, to gain the prize, to have Christ in every part of my soul. May God grant us the desires of our heart, that we desire him more than anything, that we will not come up short. I believe. Brethren, I believe we can make it. I believe we can make it. Not just as individuals, but as a body. I believe that we can make it. That we can have Christ in all of his glory, in all of his power, in all of his splendid majesty in this man, in this woman, in this people, and in this body. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.